Y'all have a good Christmas? Y'all ready for next week to start and get back to normal? No? How many of you kind of just lost track of the days this week? Like you'd have no idea what day of the week it is. It was, yesterday was Saturday, and I had no, it did not register that it was Saturday, that it was, church was today. And I felt like it was, you know, like Thursday or Tuesday afternoon or something. I'm glad to get back on a routine. I'm a routine kind of guy. And so I like a pattern. I like mundaneness. And come January 1, it's going to be mundane. But no, it's not, because God's going to do something awesome next year. How many believe that? Are you making any resolutions? Anybody making any New Year's resolutions? You just quit making them, right? You tried it, it doesn't work. We kind of call them promises to yourself. You promise yourself you're going to do something, and it just doesn't work out. You go about 2 weeks into it, and you just say, forget this. Why don't you make them anymore? Because you never follow through? You think you can't do it? Well, maybe this is the year that you can follow through. Maybe you can't feel like you can't accomplish them. Maybe you feel like you can't fulfill your own promise to yourself because you don't have it in your own power to do it. How many find that to be true? The Assemblies of God always sets aside their first full week of January as the week of prayer. It's kind of a way to start the year, to kick off the year, trusting that God's going to use this year coming. And we pray for specific things, and we just commit this year to God. This is the year that we are trusting God to do great things, even greater than before. Your prayer is, here, Lord, here is 2016. Use this year for your glory in my life. Use me to accomplish your will in 2016. Jamie said it, and I think we all make this kind of a, not a resolution, but kind of a little promise to ourselves that I want to get closer to God this year. I want to do more for the Lord. How many have thought that in your own heart? That this year is going to be different. I'm going to be better at doing something. I'm going to spend more time in prayer. I'm going to spend more time reading. But how about spending more time trusting that God is going to work through you? Rather than trying to accomplish all these things in yourself, how about trusting that God's going to do them through you? John 14 talks about that. We're studying in John. We're just going to skip ahead a few chapters. John 14, starting in verse 12, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. How many have used that verse, kind of memorized that verse or prayed that verse? Now I think we all know it's not, you know, Jesus isn't saying, hey, whatever you want, I'll give you. Some have preached that. But it's basically, we're going to talk a little bit about that, what he's talking about here. Now, if you look back in chapter 13, Jesus is having his last supper with the disciples. Judas had already gone. They were all finished now, just enjoying each other's company, having a great time of fellowship. And they begin to ask Jesus questions. John 13, 37, Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you? I will lay down my life for you. And then John 14, 5, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? And then we come to John 14, 8, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Now, Peter, we know he was the impulsive one. He was the guy, just no filter, just, you know, ready, shoot, aim. For Peter. Thomas was a skeptic. Come on, Jesus, let's be reasonable. We have no idea what you're doing. We don't know what you're talking about. Please tell us. Just show us something. And Philip was the practical one, the one that just needed a little bit of proof. How many of you find yourself in one of these categories? I tend to be more like a Philip, I think. I need to see things. I need to tangible items. I'm a schedule guy. I need to touch things. There are different types of learners. I need a diagram. How many of you buy those furnitures you got to put together? How many of you love those things? 8,000 little pieces. I have to look at the blow-up more than I can read what it says. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? That's me. Maybe you look at that and you can just put it together. I'm sure, Gil, you just put that together without even looking at anything. All you want is just something to confirm what you're believing. I think that's all what we want sometimes. Just, God, show us something. John 14:9, Jesus says, "Don't you know, Philip, I've been among you all this time. You don't know what's going on here?" The verses and the time he's spending with them is designed to prepare them for his departure. All the 3.5 years he's been there, he's prepping them for the time that he leaves. He wants them to learn. He wants them to grow because they are now going to take the mantle that he had been of what he was doing. But he was doing all this and they still weren't getting it. Back at John 14:1, Jesus says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." So all these 3.5 years, he's trying to pour into them and teach them and train them. And they still really didn't get it. They weren't really on the same page with him. But the whole reason of this time of fellowship around the Last Supper was to get them to understand what was going to happen next, so that they would be ready for that. And a lot of times, and I'm sure these guys felt that way, and maybe we feel the same way, we're not ready for the next step. We're not ready for what God has for us next because we think that it's in ourselves that we have to accomplish it, when it's not. Instead of being discouraged and let down because Jesus was gone, it needed to be, and God was telling them it was going to be a time of great blessing and great works and great miracles because he was gone. Back to the verse again. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing." Now, if you have the King James, I think it says, "Verily, verily." But the phrase, "I tell you the truth," is really an idiom or a kind of a listen up. What I'm going to tell you is important, so pay attention to what I'm saying. So when Jesus says, "Truly I tell you," or "I tell you the truth," he wants people to perk up and listen to what he's going to say next. And he goes on to say, "Anyone who has faith in me." Now, was he talking to just those 11? No. Anyone who has faith in Jesus. Anyone who has come to faith in Jesus is who he's talking to. Now, I would assume that would include us. Correct? Because we have faith in Christ. And when Jesus says, "Anyone who has faith in me," that includes everyone sitting here today. And he goes on to say, "Anyone who has faith in me," what? "Will do what I have been doing." What's he been doing? Jesus has been preaching. He's been leading people to salvation. He's been performing miracles. Those are the things that we are now going to do. Jesus is telling the disciples that them and anyone who has faith is going to be able to do all these things that Jesus has been doing. But he says, "Anyone who has faith." Now, sometimes we have to define that. A lot of times we think that it's faith in faith. You see what I'm saying? A lot of times we think that it's because of our faith in our faith rather than our faith in Jesus. All right? I'll give you an example. If you trust and you have faith that this microphone is going to work when you flip it on, you actually don't have faith in the microphone. You have faith in Paul. If you take your car to a mechanic because you trust him, you have faith not in your car, but in the person who's going to fix your car. So when we say we have faith, it's not faith in ourselves. It's not faith in our abilities. We have faith that God is able to do it, not us. Our faith is in Christ. The object of your faith is what needs to be focused. If you have faith in a person, it's going to be misplaced because that person will probably let you down at some point. And that person can't accomplish all that God wants to do. However, if your faith is in what God can do through the Holy Spirit which resides in each one of us, that's where your faith is going to be exercised and used. And then God can do great things through each one of us. The Bible says if you have faith, what? The size of a mountain? Mustard seed, tiny little seed. Because it's not your faith, it's who do you have faith in? You have faith that God wants to accomplish it. The next part of that verse says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater than these because I'm going to the Father. Imagine that. Those guys that are sitting there who, you know, were messing up all the time. Jesus says, you're going to do bigger and better things than me. You know what that means? We also are able to do greater things than Jesus did. Obviously not greater in power, but greater in number. Because there was one of Jesus, and how many of us? Now, when Peter preached his first sermon after, you know, after Jesus ascended, how many people got saved? 3,000 people. Most people believe that was many more than got saved in the entire 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. One sermon, 3,000 people got saved. That's the greater that Jesus is talking about. Greater in quantity, not greater in quality. Now, remember what's going on here. Everything that Jesus did as a person was done, and we said this before, was not done because he was God, even though he was. It was done as a man who had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and God was working through him to accomplish these things. So it wasn't that Jesus was walking around as God doing all these things. He was just like any other man, filled with God's Spirit, and God was working through him to bring healings. So you know what that tells us? We're just like Jesus as a person. And God fills us with his Spirit to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. So verse 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Now, if we stop right there, we could think that's anything. But Jesus kind of qualifies that statement by the next verse. He says, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Some things, sometimes we think of that first part as God being our genie. God, give me whatever. Give me a new car. Give me a new house. Give me $1,000. God's not the genie. When we pray and trust God for things, Jesus says, whatever you do in my name, I will do so that the Son brings glory to the Father. The prayer requests we offer need to be presented in a way that God gets the glory for the answer. When Jesus was praying for his disciples in John 17, he says this, he's talking to God, he says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me. So all of the things that Jesus did, the healings and the miracles and all those things, they were done to bring glory to the Father. Jesus did not want the glory for himself. He was pushing that glory off onto God. So whenever we ask for something, we ask for it to accomplish what God wants to accomplish in us. Now, there was a book out years ago. It's called The Prayer of Jabez. How many remember reading that book? I read it a number of times. You know, you look back on that book, and it was kind of, you know, even the author was kind of like, well, I might have misspoke on the book. But the whole premise of the book was, if you ask God for something that God wants to accomplish, he's going to do it. Not that we want to accomplish, but that God wants to accomplish. And I think this verse, this whole couple of verses we're looking at here, God is telling us that we are going to accomplish great things, not to bring glory to ourselves, not to bring glory to our church, but to bring glory to God. When people come to Christ, who gets the glory? God. When someone is healed and we testify about it, who gets the credit? God gets the credit. Doing God's work, God's way, is what brings glory to God. So if we ask for things that will accomplish God's work here, that is what brings glory to God. And that's the kind of prayer that God answers. And it isn't us that's going to accomplish it. God is going to accomplish it. The Holy Spirit will work through us to accomplish what he wants to do. The theme for this year is believe for greater things. That's the Assembly of God theme for this year. And my question is, what greater things are we believing for? What greater things are we praying for? The verse says, you ask for anything in my name, I will do it when it brings glory to God. Now, when we end our prayers with, in Jesus' name, we always do that. Sometimes we just do it because it's automatic. But in reality, it's not a formula. You're asking a question that Jesus himself would ask. When you say, in Jesus' name, I'm coming to you, Father, in Jesus' name. In other words, I'm coming because Jesus told me to come and ask this question or pray this prayer. So I'm coming in his name, not my own. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're coming to God the Father and saying, Lord, Jesus is asking me to pray this way. I'm praying in Jesus' name. When my kids, when they were minors, when they would go to the doctors, whenever, I would have to sign off on everything because they were not their own. They were a minor. They were under my authority. So when they would go in my name, given my authority, to do whatever they needed to do with the doctors or the hospital, wherever they were at. You ever hear the phrase power of attorney? How many of you have power of attorney or have given power of attorney? Power of attorney is what? You now have the authority of the person to whom gave you the power of attorney, right? Usually it's an older person, a mom or a dad, and they're telling you, they're giving you your permission to act on their behalf. And so everything you do when you act on their behalf is to benefit them, correct? It's not for your own gain. It's not what you want to do. You're acting on their behalf in their best interests. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're basically, we have the power of attorney. God, we want to bring glory to God, not for ourselves. God, we come in Jesus' name. We want to accomplish great things for you, not for us. God gave every believer the power of attorney to fulfill his will, his purpose, not for us, not for our own gain or our own purpose. I have a whole bunch of questions here. Do you have someone that you love that needs Christ? We probably all do, right? Do you believe that God can save them? Do you believe that God can move nations and people and do whatever he wants to accomplish his will? Absolutely. Then we pray that God does these greater things. Bible says, God wants everyone to be saved, none to perish, but all to come to repentance. All. So if we have that stubborn person out there that's really hard against God, the Bible says that God can break down those walls. God can open their eyes. Do you need God to miraculously provide something for you that you need? And God is your Father. And God gets the glory when these things are provided. Remember the tax money in the fish's mouth? God provided something that they needed at that moment. And who got the glory for that? God got the glory. Do you need a healing? How many times did Jesus heal people? Multitudes. I think in John says if he'd have written down everything that Jesus did, it'd be too many books. You couldn't write them in all the books. All were done because Jesus had compassion on people, and that compassion showed people God's love, and who got the glory? God did. Every time that we are able to show compassion on others because of God answering prayer in our life, God gets the glory. And that's nothing more than a testimony, correct? When God does a great miracle for you, or even a little miracle for you, that is called a testimony. And when you tell someone what God has done for you, you are actually acknowledging the power of God, giving God the credit for it. And who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Beginning this coming Sunday, the 3rd, through Tuesday, we're going to have a prayer time at our church from 7 to 8. We're going to kick off the prayer. The theme is Believe for Greater Things. I believe that God is not done working on earth. If he were, we'd be gone, right? Rapture would happen, we'd be gone. But there are many people, both in here and out there who need God to work, both for maybe healings, miracles, and salvations. And we want God to be honored and glorified through all of it. We want people to recognize that it's not us doing it, but it's God doing it. As a church, we need God to do greater things, right? If it's just up to us in our flesh, we cannot accomplish anything. But God can work through each one of us. And when the Bible says we want to believe for greater things, God has already promised that he will do it. Our verse, John 14. Anyone who believes in me, you will do greater things. So that means everyone here has the potential of being used for powerful things that you never thought God could use you for. We want God to intervene in our church. We want God to intervene in our families. We want God to intervene in our community, correct? Now, some of us have been praying and fasting for a while for specific things in the church, for God's healing, for God's protection, for God's provision. But I believe this year coming is going to be a breakthrough. And I think God is going to show great things. You know, one of the things that you look at what God has done so far, just in our church alone. And a lot of times we only look at what is visible to us on a Sunday morning. But we don't see what happens, how God uses people all throughout the week and all throughout the month and accomplishes great things that none of us may even see. But that tells me if God is doing that, it's only in preparation for what God is going to do. The things that we've been praying and fasting for have all been mostly for protection. Because as you start encroaching on the enemy's territory, taking the gospel out, doing God's will, what happens? The enemy comes after you. The enemy gets in your life. And if he can make you ineffective, he's already won half the battle. And the way he makes you ineffective is by just throwing things in your path that distract you from what God wants to do. It may take up your time. It may just be anything that distracts you from what God is doing. And we all have them, right? It could be sickness. It could be discouragement. It could be any kind of job issue. It could be anything that distracts you from what God is doing. And what happens is when those distractions come up, you focus on those. Your mind becomes wrapped around what that particular problem is. And you forget to take time to spend with God because you're so worried about what's going on. When that is happening, that tells me that we are accomplishing something, or that we're on the verge of accomplishing something. And I believe that this year, God has set a whole bunch of things up this past year. And I believe that God's going to do a great work this year. How many believe that God is not done with us personally as well as our church? But all of it must be preceded by prayer. There's a scripture that says God does nothing except by prayer. God promised specific things for each one of us that when answered brings God glory. What are you waiting for? What are you expecting for? Keith mentioned it. Are we expecting? What are we expecting God to do? What are we believing that God is able and not only able to, but wants to do? Our job is to pray that the Holy Spirit that fills us every day accomplishes that mission in us. For what? For God's glory. Bible says at the end, when Jesus says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," that's not for our accomplishments or our successes, that's for our obedience. Correct? If we are obedient and we do what God asks us to do, the results that come after that are God's responsibility, if we're simply obedient to that. Would you stand as we close this morning? I'm excited for what is going to happen this year. I think God is going to do great things. He's already done them. And I believe that as we as believers commit to continuing that, and our verse says, any who believe in Jesus, God will do greater things through you. So the person that you're praying for or the situation you're praying for, God has the ability to change anything. And we can do greater things with that power in us. Amen? Let's pray. Father, before we pray, I would be remiss in asking all of you here. Maybe you've been in this church for quite a while. Maybe this is your very first time in this church. And you're not really sure about what we're talking about. You're not sure about Jesus and all that stuff. Well, the Bible says that you're not here by accident, that God orchestrates everything. You're here because God needed you to be here for something that was said or sung or done. Because God's sole purpose in bringing you here is to bring you into a relationship with Him. If you're here and you want to know more about this Jesus, you don't quite understand it, but you really want to know. You want to have your sins forgiven. You want to come to God. You want to build that relationship. Jesus says it's easy. Simply come in faith. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now. I want to pray with you that God continues to change your life. For the rest of us, I'm going to believe that we are all followers of God and we are committed to believing for greater things. And sometimes we may get discouraged that we don't see things happening, but in reality, all the things that happen are spiritual, and we pray, and God does battle for us. And we pray, and we continue to believe for great things. If we do that, then God is able to do His part. And the things that we don't see, not necessarily maybe things that aren't happening, but God is working in the background to accomplish His perfect will. And Father, I pray right now for each one of us here that God, You would fill us on a daily basis with the Spirit of God. Fill us with Your Holy Spirit. Give us the mind of Christ. Give us Your wisdom, Lord. Allow us to be filled to overflowing with who You are so that we can be in a position to accomplish greater things only because we have the Holy Spirit in us, Father. We want You to be pleased with our life. We want You to be pleased with our effort and our work. So, Father, we ask You to fill us every day, and I pray that You would use us in situations that bring You glory, that make You pleased with us, that we're in a position to be used by You, wherever that might be. Allow us to be open to the move of the Spirit, whether it's in church, whether it's at work, whether we're out. You may set up divine appointments. You may put us in a place that You need us to be at that particular time. And I pray, Lord, that we would be sensitive to that, that Your Holy Spirit would be able to speak through us at those moments. And that, God, I pray that Your power would follow that conversation, that You would bring healing, You would bring salvation, You would bring miracles, do miracles to honor You and to allow people to see the power of God. Father, we thank You for how You've worked in our lives. And we can all attest to the fact that You do miraculous things on our behalf. You provide for us. You heal. You strengthen. You do awesome things. And we give You the credit for that, Lord. We pray that You would continue to do that. Allow others to experience what we have already experienced. And let them be equally excited about the things of God. Father, I pray that we would just be used by You for that end. And Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. We come to You, Father, because Jesus asked us to pray to be used by You. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. Have a great new year.